チリチリチリチリチリチリチリチリチ
リチリチリチリチリチリチリチリ
チリチリチリチリチリチリチリチリチリチリチリチリチリチリチ
So you want to teletype?
Yeah. You can't laugh in the middle, honey.
Too late.
Hello, everyone. This is the first episode of the Ink and Pink Girls podcast. A podcast about women in animation and illustration, as well as mentoring the new generation of storytellers. With your host, Cassie Soliday, joined by Amy Rogers. Today we get to speak with Erin J. Shea, a designer over at Disney Publishing.
I joke around, I see Mickey Mouse at the park, and I'm like, oh my gosh, look busy, it's the boss, but I don't work for Mickey Mouse. Directly, I don't know what department he would be in. Parks, maybe? But every once in a while, Mickey Mouse shows up at, like, an event, and then we're like, oh, it's the boss, or the boss's wife, Minnie Mouse is standing there. But I work in publishing for digital books, and we make apps, like, all sorts of fun apps, like, crazy stuff.
And you get to reimagine the characters a little bit, right?
I did. I got to do... Woody, Buzz, and Jesse. And it's weird. I found out Woody's last name is Pride, I guess. Like, Woody Pride. I'm like, Sheriff Woody Pride. So I named all the files, like, Sheriff Woody Pride. And I'm like, ha-ha, I know all these things. But I don't know where I read it. I think it was on Wikipedia. So, but I got to redo that. And it was funny because the very first drawings I sent in, like, we have to get them, like, approved and stuff like that. And they changed a lot from the first set of drawings, but it was weird because at the, I think at the Worldwide Developers Conference, they had a, what was it, a big thing on the screen, and they had the banner from the Toy Story Theater app, and it was right up there, and I was in work, we were in, like, I think it was a seminar for some software training, and everybody's like, oh my gosh, it's on the big screen, and broadcast over the entire world is this thing, and then there's Buzz and Woody and in my weird little golden storybook style, like, painting. And it was, like, the coolest thing. Like, knowing that every nerd in the world was seeing this. And I was like, oh, this is the best day ever. I did a happy dance at work. I did a happy dance just now.
Down. What was your first job working at Disney?
It was this one.
The same one you were thinking.
Yeah. Because I moved out here after school in 08 as the economy tanked. And I did retail from late 2008 up until probably late 2011, about October. And my best friend Kyle had gotten me a job at a little studio called Oddbot. And we were working on flash animation and storyboard animatics and stuff like that. And he got me a job there. And after work ended there, I think for about 5 or 6 months I was out of work. And then literally out of the blue, I had gotten an email and it landed in my junk box. And it said a job opportunity, and it was because somebody had seen my work online, and they sent me a job posting, and when they send it directly to you, in the subject line, it said a job opportunity. My email's like, this is a bunch of crap, threw it out, and I'm just like, like going through and just hitting the delete button through chunks of days of junk mail, and I see this, and I see it was from Disney, and I'm like, oh my gosh, and I emailed Kyle, and they were out and about, I think, at like one of those knockoff 1950s burger joints. I don't remember what that was all about, but he said it looked legit. I emailed and I found out it was real and they interviewed me. I did some freelance for them and then they hired me and I was literally 1 second away from deleting that email. It never would have heard from them ever again probably, but it was really funny.
It's bizarre.
Very happy.
Well, you definitely earned it.
Oh, thank
you. Yeah, you work so hard.
So much retail work.
Like, because I know Kyle has mentored you for quite a few years.
Yeah, I met him on DeviantArt in 2003, and he was really nice because I was like, oh, I like your stuff, and then we started talking, and then he would tell me to draw something. Like, I was like, could you help teach me to draw because I want to draw like you, and he would tell me to draw something, I would draw it, and then he would go over it and show me how the construction worked, and that's like the key, the construction of how to build a character out of shapes like circles and
foundations.
Yeah, all of that stuff. Which school had kind of, like, they did more of the fine art background of it. Nobody really touched it, like, besides animation, that till Kyle, and that's how I learned to draw.
I still feel like foundations should be in with fine art, you know, because I've met a few painters. They're like, yeah, I can paint, but I really need to work on, like, drawing.
Yeah.
Drawing is, like, I feel like the number one thing you need.
Yeah, it's just the basics, like, building things out of shapes and imagining how you see heads or spheres and whatnot. I mean, like, if I could just give a tiny booklet to every young student in America and they could just see these are the basics and it could go from there. Because I think, like, we touched it in, like, the first grade. I was in a gifted class and they were teach us how to draw 3D cones and spheres and not and shading. But we never really learned how to construct out of these shapes and how to see them and how do we use as a guide.
Have you ever gone through the Preston Blair book?
It's so good. On construction? Good. It's so good. All of those books are so good. And I like the ones, I think it was Preston Blair's book where he had used licensed characters originally, and then he had to redo them.
And then he had to redo the book. Yeah.
I'm like, it's amazing how he tweaked the characters to look like the Bugs Bunny is clearly Bugs Bunny, but it's not because he's in that turtleneck.
Yeah.
But those are the most useful books, and they're on the internet for free.
Really?
Like, I think I've seen
them. That's cool.
I bought it for $10 at Michael's.
Yeah, they're dirt cheap. Yeah. I'd say buy them because it supports the publisher, but it's
and even going back to that bear head at the beginning, you look at it and it looks so simple, and you're like, yeah, okay, it's a bear head, whatever. And then you start to do it, and every single one you do looks horrible.
You're like, this is what are we drawing?
I can't get this bear head anymore.
Like the
really is, it really is such a foundation in getting a grasp of a dimensional object that you can turn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's one of, like you said, you wish that, you know, you could just give this book to every kid.
Go back in time and be like, hey, Aaron, wake up, stupid. This is focus on this. Don't worry about that.
But luckily you had, obviously it sounds like you had a mentor who kind of took you through those things. And
Kyle Carruthers is a hero. I cannot stress enough. Like, he taught me how to draw. And I mean, the stuff I was learning was, it was approaching it from a different way and it just wasn't clicking. Kyle taught it in a way it clicked, and I mean, it just went uphill from there. It was great. It was
okay,
wonderful.
So where did you meet?
DeviantArt. He was online.
Mm-hmm.
I was in school at the time and I was sitting on the internet and I saw him online and his stuff is really cute because you see him. It draws all the crazy, like a million cartoon characters, and then he repurposes some characters for pitches and stuff, and then if that doesn't work out, he's like, oh, but this character's really nice, and he'll use that character somewhere else.
He's so prolific.
It's a cast of characters that they're great. They're just freaking amazing, and he taught me how to draw, and like I will say he is my best friend in the entire world, because he saved my butt, where, like, I wasn't learning in school, and it just wasn't fitting, like, with the way I think. He figured it out, and it clicked. And he still teaches me, and it's crazy. I'm like, oh, my gosh, Kyle.
Did you just meet via DeviantArt? You started talking and kind of built a rapport?
He's like, oh, draw a girl with a filthy puppy. And, like, she's holding it in disgust, and I would draw. And then he would show me, instead of, like, it felt like sometimes people would shoot people down in a critique. He would show me what I could do to make it better. It wasn't negative. Like, because I know there's critique sandwiches where it's negative, positive, negative to teach you. But it was just so solidly good. He nailed it. And it was so perfect.
I've never heard of that criticism sandwich. The one that I learned was positive, negative, positive.
Oh, was it? Right.
I would hope it was a negative.
You're
positive,
right.
Negative.
You're
okay,
right.
Good.
Like, that's so good. That would be a terrible tasting sandwich.
Yeah.
You're like, God, this tastes like crap.
Yeah.
Although I think the bread is not the best part of the burger. So I think that's why I think of it that way. But, I mean, because critiques they're never fun. Not in school when everyone's tearing your face off. But I think you are correct on that one. But I always think that the bread is the worst part of the Big Mac. And I'm like, this is delicious Big Mac, and there's a special sauce, and all these pickles that I've requested. This bun is awful! And I think that's where I get it from.
No.
I like hamburgers.
I feel like the internet probably does do the negative, positive, negative sandwich,
though. It is, especially on, like, because DeviantArt is funny, because you can get once in a blue moon something helpful, but usually it's like, I like this, or this is pretty, and it's so hard. But it's been getting, I think it's been getting better. I still get, like, just, like, random dozens of comments going, this is cute, and that's it. And they leave it at that, and you're like, you've asked, you can leave a little thing in the box saying, I would prefer critiques, and I'm assuming people do that, but I still get a lot of, this is cute, this needs kitty ears, or something like that, and it's ridiculous.
Are you hoping to get some critiques, though, with your work when you post it online?
I mean, at least
some opinions and maybe someone offering some sort of,
definitely,
you know.
I'm always up to hear it, because you don't stop learning, and kids freak out about college nowadays, and they're like, oh my gosh, they're like in like the sixth grade, and they're like, what college do I go to? How do I get into this job? How do I work for this company? Mm-hmm. And they worry about what to do, and I'm like, you have to worry about learning, but don't let it box you in, because you never stop learning. It's not when you leave the school you don't stop learning. It's not when you go home for the night you don't stop learning. It's just every chance you get, you're going to learn. And I wish more of that would get focused on, instead of cramming it in to 2 to 4, I don't know how many more years for school it is nowadays, but I don't know, the whole life seems like school, but it is. And you don't ever stop learning, and it's a good thing.
I think it was a few years ago where I realized that all my work was very empty, and it was because, like, I was just focusing on art, on getting a job, and just, I wasn't focusing on anything else. Like, I would just be like, no, I can't go to your party, no, I don't want to hang out, just want to work on art. And, like, I was drawing crap. It wasn't even good.
It's hard, because when I first moved out here, I didn't, like, I only knew Kyle and his gal, Lindsay, from online, and then they were my friends, and then they brought me to one of their friends, Samantha's drawing party, and it was at an IHOP. And I mean, like, I had just finished working the night at the art supply store, and I have my own brand new little sketchbook. And I got there, and she had purchased these most wretched coloring books. They're like 18 inches thick. They're full of knockoff Disney princesses, horrifying art of every kind. And I was like, oh, this is going to be such an intimidating party. No, it was the funniest thing in the world, because they must have just printed out screenshots from, like, The Little Mermaid and horribly blindly traced them and then sold them as a coloring book. Because we were like, coloring them, and we were writing the worst jokes in the world. And those books, I don't even know where they are. I think we filled them all up. But, I mean, from then on, I met several more people, and then it expanded, and then eventually, I believe through Kyle, I met you. Yeah. And I met you through Cassie. So it just keeps going. It just, you don't stop meeting people, you don't stop learning. It's when I used to my entire time in high school and college, I would stay inside because I didn't really have friends. The internet was new at the end of high school. College, the internet was like, oh, free internet the entire time. I would be sitting on Diablo. And then I got on City of Heroes, but I started to balance more and more externally, and then when I got out of college, that's when it just was more social, and then you just learn from everybody and get better and better, and it's really cool.
Yeah. I definitely feel life experience is actually number one. Yes. And then your foundations.
Yeah. They swear by it.
Speaking of, like, going back to, like, drawing and foundations, it's crazy that you still didn't understand those things even after getting a master's in San Francisco.
Yeah, like, I was in, for my BFA in animation, and I was learning the foundations. They weren't clicking. So when I was in the animation class, I was struggling with everything. There's life drawing, there's color theory. I am partially colorblind to red and green shades, and that was an utter nightmare. But, like, all of that, like, it just wasn't clicking. And then when Kyle taught me that you build things from these shapes, I started to see everything easier. And then what school was teaching me started to make sense. And that was like the ultimate, there's like, I don't know what moment it would be called. Like the light turns on, yeah, bam. And then now I can see what they're talking about, and now it makes sense. Because everybody learns differently. That's the other problem with, like, public schools, colleges. It's one way, or one teacher teaches a certain way. Not everyone's going to be that way. And that's why the internet is really flipping important right now.
So, at work, when, like, young artists come up to me and, like, ask for advice and stuff, and, like, some people, they've given up on their dreams of being artists because, like, of a teacher, or they don't agree with their teachers, I always recommend just learn it their way, get your grade,
get them happy.
And it, like, and see if it works out, because mm-hmm. you don't have to keep it once the class is over. You can just ignore it,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, you make them happy, and then you go home and you can learn from your friends, from blogs, because there's so many helpful blogs, and they're just really, really helpful.
So what do you think caused it to click for you? Do you think it was just finding the right moment in your life and finding the right people in your life that kind of created that light bulb moment for you?
It was partially the person and the way they taught, because mm-hmm. Kyle has the patience of a saint. Saint Kyle Carroza. And, like, literally, I could redraw the same horrible thing over and over again. But he would show me what I could do to strengthen it, and I would just take that, and then I would just recopy until I would retain something. And then it was just a slow progression, and I think when 2011 is when he had still been teaching me, and I was working in retail, and I said, I got to do something about my situation, because I don't want to be in retail forever, dealing with the bizarre stuff I had to deal in retail. Especially in Los Angeles. So I started learning storyboarding, I believe. It was a little after that, but I started to learn Photoshop, like coloring techniques, brushes, all of that stuff. I said, whatever I see, I'm just going to learn it. If I like it, I'm going to learn it, and I dissect it, and you learn that way too. There's tutorials that'll walk you through how you get a certain, like a look or like adding texture to your piece. But if I see something I like, I'm going to try to do it, and I'm going to try to figure out, and it may not be the right way, but hell, I'm going to learn something, I'm going to take something out of it, and I'll figure it out, and then that'll help streamline. I might not do it that same way ever again, but I've taken those techniques I've learned, and they apply to future things down the road. Like, I just learned something 3 or 4 days last week, how to separate black and white line art off of a white layer when it's been merged without having to, like, delete the white. I was like, channels? What is this witchcraft?
Somebody's like, you can do that.
You click it, so I guess you hold down control and you click on the little image in the thumbnail, and it selects, I don't know what it selects because I can't tell because the lines are so tiny. Mm-hmm. And then you inverse your selection, copy, make a new layer, paste it, and it's just the black and white. And there's sometimes gray, like I found out there's like a little bit of gray traces left over. But then I just lock the pixels, and then I just paint over that, and anything that was like a middle gray will get black. And that'll make it really nice. And then you can go and you can color in line art. You can color in between. You can layer, multiply, all, anything. But I just learned that Thursday or Wednesday last week. Blew my mind. I am old enough to still have my mind explode at work. And it's just like, boof. Like, I learned how smart objects work. And I was like, damn it. That was the start of the end, though.
When I went to the Mary Blair exhibit this weekend, there was a huge quote. You know how, like, they like to enlarge quotes through exhibits? One of them was, you know, you go to college to learn the basics, and then you learn everything else in a job, you know, when you're working and stuff. It was more eloquent than that, obviously. Yeah. But I thought that was really profound.
It's true. Mm-hmm. It's true, because I used to work in a movie theater when I was still in just graduated college. I was in the movie theater. Mm-hmm. And
this is where you became a Coke addict, right?
Yeah, the Coca-Cola addict. I learned, like, and it's ridiculous because this stuff sticks to me. I learned how to calibrate an old-style machine with the syrup and the water separator. And I learned what bite and sparkle is. And it's ridiculous. And
what's that?
Bite and sparkle. Bite is the crispness on your tongue from, I believe, the CO2. And the sparkle are the bubbles. And they had the thing. Make sure the soda has bite and sparkle. You check your thing every morning. I don't think nobody does that anymore. Because I'd gotten soda places before and it tastes like butt. It's just flat and blech. Nobody likes a flat soda. You want bite and sparkle. But, like, I would learn that. I learned that popcorn poppers are, like, almost 400 degrees. I burned myself. Wow. Our popper exploded. I did not know oil could get that hot, and it literally burst into flames. I was just coming into work, and the entire thing was a molten mess of crap, and everything was covered in fire extinguisher powder, and I'm like, who did something not good? And it was just, that melted down.
Did they continue running everything? Or did
we
shut down
tried. We tried. We had to get the popper wired, and it would either turn on or off, and The kettle is a heater. There's the heater underneath the popcorn that keeps it warm once it's been popped. And then there's a heating lamp on top to help keep the heat in. And I don't know if they're all the poppers are like that, but he could wire it. The guy wired it to be either on or off. So you could either have everything or nothing. And the kettle has to be spinning, or else I guess the metal spinner thing can melt. It's ridiculous. But this is
Who would have thought?
400 degrees, they're like, don't touch it. And you learn that lesson when you scald the back of your knuckles because it's like hotter than the surface. I don't think an oven gets that hot.
And these are the things that you cannot learn in a classroom.
You cannot! Yeah. You unless it's popcorn school. But it was weird because then we would get, they would do movie contests, and then I taught myself layout in Photoshop, and we started winning contest after contest after contest because I would do the books. I would set up the books in Photoshop and make them really nice design work, and I guess that was kind of like the layout then of what some of the stuff I do now. And it's really funny because I started to get really good and we started winning like grand prize, and then they wouldn't let us win and because we kept winning. And it was funny because then that filtered down to like the good layout. It just feels right. When something looks right, feels right, you know it's not crap. And when you see bad layout, you know something's not right. And that's just funny how it just, even from then, popcorn.
Did you ever think, like, as a little girl, that you would be in Los Angeles, like, here? Because you grew up in Maine, right?
Yeah. I don't know if it was Los Angeles specifically. I knew it was going to be something cartoon-related. Because that was the only thing I cared, like, looking at was pictures. Like, pretty pictures and books. And we would, like, the school had those giant, thick Garfield books. And, you know, the long, rectangular ones. And I just rent those out of the little the student library, and I would read those over. And I knew it was something like that because, you know, you could aspire to be an astronaut, but that's a lot of math, and I think math is not fun. So I can't do math. And as much as I love space and NASA and space shuttles, can't do math. So I was like, nope. It was always something cartoon-related, which is why I ended up going to school for animation because I thought I didn't know about BizDev or any of the visual development or any of that. So I thought it was literally you go in, you study animation, and then afterwards you branch out. I did not know that you can study illustration for visual development, and all of this. Sequential art was popular, too.
And it's really nice that you're helping, you know, the people on Tumblr that ask you questions with this stuff, too.
Yeah, because when I was in school, we had to ask the teacher. The internet was, like, it was still new, but there wasn't, like, a huge, I don't think there was a lot of tutorials online, and it's hard when you're in school, you're freaking out about everything. You're like, oh my gosh, I have to draw this giant portrait of myself as a religious figure from Star Wars or something like that. And then you're juggling a math class that they're making you take because your school grades in high school weren't so hot. So you're juggling this crap that you don't want to do. And then there's stuff you do want to do. And then you're like, I have no time. How do I learn this? And
here, wait, you said religious figure in Star Wars in the same sentence?
Yes.
What? That was Star Wars.
There was an assignment where we had to draw a self-portrait as a religious figure, and I argued that Star Wars is a religion because it is recognized as such. I believe in Europe, some areas do. So because I like to cause trouble, I fought with the teacher, and she made me write a paper proving my point, and then she let me do it, and then I think that was it after that. I was, like, just done with it.
But do you still have your portrait?
I don't know where it is. I spent way too much money on a giant piece of watercolor paper I didn't know what to do with. I didn't know how gouache were or like tube watercolor works, so I literally had a tube of watercolor which I spent like $30 on. I'm like, God, this paint doesn't last very long at all. And it was just like tiny little patches like that. I did not know that you thin that stuff out with water. I did not know. See, and this, if I had had the internet, how do you use watercolor in a tube? That would have been really helpful. And that's why I like to post things like that, because portfolios are a bloody nightmare. Nothing's scarier than starting with nothing and having to make a something and not knowing where to begin. That's like the scariest blank paper, writing a paper. Same way. It's scary as hell. And I went through that. It sucked. I didn't like it, and I didn't like seeing people struggle or suffer. So what, and I don't think I know everything, but if I can try to find something to answer somebody's question or at least send them in the right direction, that's what makes me happy, is because I'm keeping them from being as hopeless feeling as I remember being, because that sucked. You're like, you have a weekend to make a portfolio, and you'd have no clue where to begin because everybody wants a portfolio, and people think portfolios are all the same, and they're not. Every job application is probably going to be a different portfolio because you tailor those, and it's tricky because we were getting flat books printed at the local printer, and bam, I mean, I spent $50 to $75 on 3 books, and they were sent away, and they were rejected, and Nickelodeon returns them, which was really nice, but they just, otherwise they disappear, and that's a waste of money. We didn't, like, home printers and copiers weren't, like, big back then, or at least we didn't have the money for that, and that's what, it just kills. It's like, you spend all this money, it goes away, and you never see it again, or you never get a job, and then you don't know what to do now, because you've invested in this thing. So, like, I try to outline how you can get through the whole construction of a portfolio with as little pain and as little waste as possible. Like, you set it up, print pages out, and you can print them out as much as you need. Their home printer, they don't have to be perfectly bound. People think they have to be gilded and blessed by clerics from some amazing Universal Church of the Galaxy or something like that. They're not. They're just books that people look at. Put your name on every page because I guess people tear them apart. And they're like, oh, hey, look at this. And they pass it along to somebody. And if your name's on the bottom, then your name doesn't get separated. So it's amazing. It's amazing how little it needs to be and how much impact it can have if you don't worry about the frills and you get, just do it right. Just basic.
Like, focus on the artwork and putting it together. There was...
People will do anything. They think, I don't know if it's like just general thought or if somebody somewhere said, do whatever you can to make a lasting impression. Don't do it. I can't stress it enough. It's your artwork is the impression that you want to make. Glitter, toys, goofy crap. It's
colored paper. Just keep it simple.
I think that's what people hear a lot though is do something that's going to create a lasting impression that's going to keep, you know, that's going to help you stand out. So what kind of advice do you give people then who are reaching out to you on your blog about that sort of thing instead of giving them that cursory answer to do something to stand out? Because that's so vague and it's the answer everybody gets and people can take that any direction. What kind of advice do you give people in that situation?
Let the art do the speaking. And I have, I gotta find it. I made a big, long Tumblr post because I ramble a lot, and I mean, I cite things like it was a damn high school paper, and I cite one website, they're like, just, your art does the talking, if they request this, 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 and that, and a lot of places will, they'll outline it right on their posting, we want to see examples of life drawing and set pieces, like, they could ask for whatever they want, give it to them, don't overdo it, don't put your, you know, don't, quality over quantity, because you don't want to put crap in there. And everybody, you never stop getting better. I refuse to believe that anybody doesn't get better the more they draw. So Kyle taught me this too. Go through, you add new stuff, take some old stuff out, because that's going to be what saves your butt. But I've found a couple of places, and I cite them, where they say keeping it simple is utterly and utterly important. And it's... I think it's the most important thing out there because, like you said, glitter, perfume, I think it's a bit over the top. I mean, really, you don't need dramatics for a portfolio. Yeah, unless you're going for, like, some special arts or you're applying for somewhere where you're really, that's what you're going to do. If you're going to be making wonderful, mystical books full of glitter and perfume, then go for it. But otherwise, no, you don't want to offend their noses. The same thing goes for demo reels. I was in a teacher's assistant in a class for animation, and the kids would do like a 10-second dialogue piece, I think 8 to 10 seconds, and they would all pick like these lines out of movies with swearing and just raunchy dialogue, and I'm like, what if somebody takes these home and watches them at night to go through and pick people? You don't want to offend people. Pick something good, not cliche, you know, it's just don't offend. It could be any number of senses. Just don't be offensive. That's all I can say.
Now, you're able now to put all this information out there to people who are looking for guidance. And you're offering everything that you've learned over you know, the past years that you've been in the business and getting into the business and going to school. How did you go through that process without having an internet full of your peers to help you out?
Going through school?
Yeah, I mean, how did you end up even finding an animation school that you wanted to go to, or even finding that path of animation without having this huge universe of people out there who could kind of guide you, you know? Yeah. I mean, because now the internet, it's such a huge resource for people. So coming from a time when you didn't have that, you know, you can now offer that to other people because you know that you didn't have that and you know that they would love to have that guidance. But how did you get through the whole process without?
Oh, man. High school, you know, you go to the guidance counselor's office and they're like, what would you like to do for your future? And I want to make cartoons. Well, good. You can go to fine art school. And I know we had the internet, but it was, we probably started talking about it in 99 or 2000 because I graduated in 01 and the internet was still fresh. And in Maine, it wasn't, I don't think it was as advanced as other places was, but we knew about basic schools like RISD, which would be, RISD, Rhode Island School of Design. There's Ringling in Sarasota, Florida. I have the best story about that. Ringling.
We want to hear it.
SCAD popped up. Like, you can type in animation school. Of course, CalArts is going to come up. But, like, I also was stuck looking at how could I go in that direction, but with little money, no scholarships, no nothing like that. I started for 2 years. I started going to University of Southern Maine for foundations, which was like color theory and just the basics like that. It was weird because 9/11 happened like a couple of weeks into school. And I think a lot of art assignments focused on our feelings and how we're feeling. It was a lot of emotion being assigned. And I'm like, you know, I just want to learn these foundations, but I went there for 2 years for like color theory, paint, probably basic life drawing, painting. We would have 6 hour life drawing classes.
Ooh.
Oh my gosh.
Long.
And I know. It's long. I took pottery. Like we did raku pottery. I'll never probably use it again, but now I know you can take a piece of like burning pottery, put it in a pile of like leaves and garbage and it comes out amazing. It's crazy what you learn. And, I wanted to go to more of an animation school. They didn't have anything for me there because it was University of Southern Maine and we didn't have animation. So it was more of like, what can we do with Aaron? I was applying to Ringling in Sarasota, Florida for animation and I needed a recommendation. And I asked one of my professors, can you write me a recommendation to Ringling? Sure. And then I gave him the address and I found out, like, I don't know if it was months or weeks later, oh, how'd that clown school thing going? And I'm like, what do you mean clown school?
No.
The clown college you applied to. And I'm like, what? And I guess a recommendation for Ringling's clown college was written. And I don't even want to know what Ringling School of Art and Design thought about it when they saw that. So they're like, well, we don't have room in our animation program. We'll put you in painting, which I probably could have taken that and it would have served me extremely well for just art in general. That would have been really nice, but I didn't go that route. And clowns.
Oh,
clown college.
Wait, what did you say when
I was just shocked. I think I was just completely freaking shocked. And I'm like, that explains it.
Did you just walk out the door and say,
I believe so. I was pretty,
what are you thinking?
I was extremely unhappy, but it's funny now.
Yeah.
Cause it's like, oh, how's the clown college thing going? I'm like, what are you talking about clown college?
And he was serious. He was absolutely serious.
Dead serious. Dead serious. And that's the weird thing was because I would constantly befuddle some of these teachers. Just to the point of where they just don't even know what to say anymore. And
well, that's Erin who wants to go to clown college.
Gosh, she knows what she's
what
all about.
What to do with Erin?
What are you going to do?
Send her to clown college.
I know we will do.
God, clowns are, they can be scary. They can be very scary.
And you're such a goofball that I'm sure
I know,
it seemed realistic.
It probably seemed completely plausible, and I can't blame him for it. I'm like, well, yeah, I would do it too, probably. But I ended up going to SCAD, and because I transferred in, my credits didn't all transfer perfectly, and it just, the sequencing wasn't right, and I suffered a bit in that, but it wasn't the end of the world, because clearly I'm here right now after dealing with a buttload of just, like, ridiculousness in sequencing. That's another thing, too. I don't think kids should have to go to college. I know a lot of places require, and I mentioned it, too, on one of my posts, a lot of places require a college degree. Like, I say, don't lie about your degree. Don't lie. Don't ever do that because they check. Because I got a master's degree in California, and it was in San Francisco at a school that has several locations. And I guess they misread on my official application. And while I was, like, at Disney, I got an angry call from somebody from some third-party company that was checking my info to make sure I wasn't lying, and they have no record of you getting a degree from there whatsoever. And I'm like, what? They were talking about San Diego and not San Francisco, and they do check. So I tell people, don't ever fib about your experience. Don't like stretch it. It's kind of ridiculous because that's a chance you don't want to take. Otherwise, you can learn a lot. There's online classes. There's ones that cater to just animation, just character animation. They give you a rig. They teach you the basics of the software. There's drawing. Like, Steven Silver has those drawing classes now. Gosh, I would love to go to these drawing classes because they just focus on the pure, solid lesson and not, you don't have to sit through an animation class and then to take a math class and then you have to go and take this. I had to take urban planning because I had to get some sort of history course, and I thought I was like, oh sweet, we're gonna like plan out a bit like SimCity. No, it was not at all like that whatsoever. So it was a lot of writing and a lot of things that you don't want to do. And if you don't have the money or a scholarship, it can get costly. It's expensive. So if you can take it and get a certificate, like, that may fly. Because I know the twins, Elena and Olivia, Elioli, they were self-taught, and they got accepted to college, but then they were immediately hired right out of it. I don't even think they went for more than a couple of weeks, but they're gifted. It's amazing what you can learn as long as you focus and you put your mind to it. And that's what I like to stress is if people can't afford to go to college, it's not the end of the world. Because I know people will tear their hair out if they don't get into their college of choice or they don't get into CalArts. It's not the end of the world.
And it's not their fault.
No,
a lot of people
not.
Really kick themselves for stuff like that.
It's well, so many people for so few spots. It's awful.
And you are a good example of having your light bulb moment outside of that experience
it was,
of school.
Yeah.
So I think it seems like everybody is different. And so maybe it's just a matter of finding that one opportunity that's going to give you that light bulb moment of, oh, okay, I get it now.
Yeah.
And this is what I'm going to do.
Everybody learns differently. And once you find it, you can run with it because they're a great example. I know there's tons of, it's crazy. Kyle and I, we laugh our butts off. We see like a 14-year-old who draws better than we do. And we're like, dang, this is amazing. It's amazing. They know more than what we do. And it's a good thing, but it's scary.
Yeah.
It's scary because, you know, they could be teaching themselves at home. They could just be, that could be their entire focus. We don't know. It's just, everybody learns differently. Some people have natural talent. A lot of people say, oh, I'll never learn to draw. And I think that's a bunch of bull, too. I swear to God, I'm trying to get my boyfriend to draw, and he won't. I don't think he will. He's drawn a couple of cute little things like doodles for me, but
drives me crazy when people say like I can only draw stick figures or I can't draw a straight line with a ruler.
True.
And I'm like, have you tried?
I was at Disneyland one time and I took my sketchbook with me, and for me that's terrifying to be drawing out in public, but that's another day. And I was in the Jolly Holiday bakery, mm-hmm. and I was getting coffee. And the girl who was helping me saw my sketchbook, and she said, "Oh, are you drawing?" And I said, "I thought I'd just come hang out for a couple hours and draw." And she said, "Oh, I wish I could draw. I cannot draw. And I said, "You absolutely can draw." And I said, "Do you know how long I thought I couldn't draw?" And then I just sat down with piece of paper and pencil, and I drew so many. And I still draw horrible drawings. You know, every once in a while, one that I kind of like will come out.
Yeah.
And I ended up having this really great conversation with her because no one was in line about how all it takes, it's not a matter of saying I can draw, I can't draw. It's a matter of kind of taking that first step and actually mm-hmm. doing it. And I hear that all the time. I'm sure we all hear it all the time that I can't draw. And it really kind of like, it breaks my heart because you think of everyone being like a 5-year-old kid, all 5-year-old kids draw. They don't care.
You just dive in.
Yeah, they don't say, "I can't draw," or "This looks horrible." They don't critique their own work in that same way. And so I think for a lot of grown-ups, it's like, "Oh, I can't do that anymore. Everything looks bad. I don't want people looking at it and thinking it's bad." And you know, maybe it's just kind of finding that childlike innocence of just going for it and just experimenting.
Yeah. Just make yourself happy. Don't think about mm-hmm. what other people are going to think, you know? Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of adults especially just feel like they missed the train. It's like, well, no, you're still alive.
Get hung up
on it. You
can
make a change at any point.
I was halfway through college before it clicked, so there's no wrong time to start. It's halfway through college, people. It's crazy. And then I'm like, oh, and I feel like I only really started to pick up in early, mid 2011 and then on. And then, like, because you hit plateaus and then you get progressive and then you hit a plateau again. You might go down a little bit, but then you go back up again. It's just you don't stop. If you stop for any reason, that's when you don't get better. It's because you're not drawing.
Yeah. What do you do personally when you get stuck on something? Like, if you're going through a period of time where you think, oh, everything I do is horrible and I just can't get past this, and you're stuck on that plateau and you don't feel like you can get out of it, what do?
I like fan art a lot because mm-hmm. if I have no clue what to draw, I'm either going to draw hamsters, kitties, I like to draw kitties, and fan art. I love, especially if it's fan art of kitties. Like I saw Animal Crossing and I'm like, that's it. I'm drawing
fan art of kitties.
I'm drawing some kitties. And I drew the little Isabel dog, and I'm like, this is the most fun thing I've drawn in, like, forever. Because
they're so cute.
You get so tired of, like trying to, like, I would love to be able to draw, like, Claire Hummel. Oh, my God. Her human figure drawing is just stunning and gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Drew Struzan, and I'm like, God, it's beautiful. I can't do that, but I'll get, like, sad or frustrated. But then I'm like, let's draw some freaking kitties. And I draw kitties, and I see... Tumblr's great for it because the more I posted on Tumblr, the less I worried and cared about what I was posting, then the more and more people started to follow me. And, like, if I drew a cat farting, it was a poop cat, and I kid you not, I must have gotten, like, 70 notes on that. And I was like, that's more notes than anything I've ever gotten
before.
Where
do these people come from?
I know.
Where do these internet people come from? It's amazing.
And people liked it, and it was funny, and they passed it around. It was a post-it note drawing while it was on
that's
the phone.
That's awesome.
Because when you call tech support on the property, you're going to get It's a Small World on the phone, and then I'm trying not to go, I'm like, no, I'm just going to draw some cats farting. And I drew like the dumbest look on a cat's face. And, I mean, I posted it on Tumblr, and it was just ridiculous because people liked it. And the more I drew, even my bad drawings, I posted them, and it was surprising what people liked. And the more I posted, the better I got because I was constantly drawing. I'm like, oh, I'm drawing for the sake of sharing with people now, and it was really fun. I think that helped a lot, too.
Yeah,
Tumblr's great. Twitter's good for that, too.
Yeah. And through all your posting of your drawings, like, I saw, like, times when you were, like, practicing the watercolor, and then you got so good, and then you started doing more finished watercolors.
I know.
It was really cool to see your progression in public like that.
I love progressional, because you can learn from, like, people, they'll start doing a thing in Vine. They'll shoot, like, a short couple of seconds of a piece. They do a little work, they shoot another, and it's almost like a video, which I guess it is a video I'm buying. Or they just do still photos, and then you can see them from start to finish. And because I remember when I was younger, like in middle school and junior high, I would see art in books, and I was like, you think only about the outside line and the final product. You never think of the progress. And you learn a lot just by looking at the progress. And that's why I love, I prefer pencil sketches, the rough sketches of any kind, over the finished art. It's odd. Because whenever Kyle would draw anything for me, I'd be like, can you save a scan of the unfinished thing so I can learn? And he would save the character construction before he cleaned it up and colored it digitally for me.
There's just a unique charm to like, the pencil and rough.
Yeah,
and
it's like the ones at the, in the park.
Yeah.
I prefer those to finished. I like colored artwork. I love prints and stuff like that. I just like the pencil sketches because they're more alive. Like when they would animate and then they started, was it 101 Dalmatians they started Xeroxing for?
Yeah.
And they just.
And you see like flyaway like pencil wires.
Yeah, it's just so much more real and it felt so much better. When you see them, it just feels more alive. I like it.
I love that you can pause on some of those frames, like on Robin Hood, and you see the construction of the head underneath everything, and none of, you know, I love that you get to see all that progress underneath, and you get to see the humanity.
Yeah, everything it's underneath. Beautiful, yeah. Because, like, those guys could draw, and it was crazy. And then, like, they'll sometimes, they put out the books, with the original pencil drawings, you know, like Snow White and things like that. Just blows my mind. Like, it's so much better to see these things and see how you get from start to finish. Because you see the, like, the marks, the grid marks on the face, just showing you where about where the eyes go. When I was in school, my professor, Phil Young, he was an animator for, I think, almost 25 years. He worked on Beauty and the Beast, and he had shown us a copy of, I think it was like an Oscar screener, where it was the most wonderful thing I've ever seen because you had storyboard panels mixed in with pencil tests, mixed in with colored stuff, mixed in with final finish with CG. And it was beautiful because Belle's cheeks had the triangles that showed where the blush went. And I'm like, I never would have thought of the mask. And it showed where the mask goes. And I was looking up stuff for Iron Giant, and the character Kent Mansley had similar blush like plotting out on his face. And I'm like, this is, they still do it. It's crazy. It's pretty cute.
Yeah. I love the Beauty and the Beast, what you were talking about, that entire thing. And I love that they showed it. I think it was at New York at the film festival or something, just a work in progress to make sure that the audiences would receive it.
Yeah.
And it actually hit, because usually people are not accustomed to seeing it in such a rough state. Whenever people ask me about animation in the parks, I always use that as an example of the cleanup process, because, like, you know, they're not just tracing the animator's lines. The animator's lines are just free, and they're just in motion, and they're calming it down and putting it on model.
Yeah.
Because in the transformation scene, that is just amazing.
He's going all light beams.
And for Belle, sometimes only her eyes are on screen, because that was the only thing that was moving, because they worry about acting. And then someone else puts it on model. And that's when I realized. It was like, oh, wow, you can draw emotion, or you could be really good at putting things on model. And you could have careers doing that.
Yeah,
you know?
So there's a lot more jobs. And it makes it less daunting and scary. Because when, before, you know, the internet, everything was broken down ridiculously cleanly for us to see and learn and understand. You're like, gosh, how did they get from start to finish? I can't do that. And it's scary.
Well, no, you just draw that.
Yeah.
That's the only thing you do.
You draw it clean right away.
Don't screw up. There's color to that pencil. Better make color right off the bat.
You decide the self-color lines before you decide the other colors.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think, you know, in a way that kids who are going through the process, you know, they're going into school and they're wanting to get into animation, they have so many resources available to them right now. They have podcasts, they have, you know, they have DVD bonus features where they can watch the making of. I remember sitting at home and waiting for, like, the making of The Little Mermaid or something to come on the Disney Channel, and they'd air it maybe once ever. And it would be maybe
tape it on a VHS tape.
And yeah, and it would
break
be maybe
the tabs
20
so you
minutes.
Don't record over
it'd be maybe 20 minutes. And now you get Blu-ray with a whole DVD full of extras,
just
and you can see
that.
The entire process. And I think even the Beauty and the Beast one does have one of the rough cuts where you see a little bit in color, you see a little bit in storyboards, and you can see that whole process.
I do wish there would be more, though. Howl's Moving Castle, and I think most of Miyazaki's film do have, like, the entire board.
Really?
Like, on the special features.
Wow,
I wish the new movies would do that.
Mm-hmm. I would like to be able to watch the movie and then have, like, a picture-in-picture of the story. Someone's got to have done it.
Yeah. It has to exist somewhere out on the internet. Because,
like, I see, like, I've seen things before they've been finished, and I like to see them earlier on because I love to see the, I love storyboards because, in late 2011, early 2012, before I had gotten, contacted by Disney, I was like, okay, this is where I can go. Cause Kyle was doing storyboard and it was, he was doing really good at it. And it's a, it really strengthens your drawings because there's a lot of action and motion and pushing. And I was like super timid about any kind of like action or posings or stuff like that. And, we got Shroom Cohen's DVDs, which are ridiculously amazing. I would watch, and it would stick. Like, I could run it through my head. And the way he taught was so perfect. Just the way Kyla taught me to draw. Mm-hmm. Shroom, the way he outlines everything, it makes sense. It's to the point, and it's, like, the language he uses is perfect. It's
simple.
It's so good, and it's so right. And it's, those were a good value. Those are a very good value. Mm-hmm. Like we did very little storyboarding in school. I don't recall much at all, but then I was like, oh, maybe I can do this. And I took some tests and I took a test for, I think, regular show. And it's funny when you get a test and sometimes they'll ask you to stick on model or something for this one. This one, they gave us examples of ridiculous scenes to draw out. And cause it was a lot of comedy driven. So that was fun. But I was, like, in the middle of working on those, and I did, Kyle suggested taking a script for, like, because I said there was the first script for Back to the Future, which is nothing, barely at all, like, that one even involved, I think, a fridge, was a time machine, and it was powered by soda, and nothing at all, like, the movie, so, because then you can storyboard it without it being, oh, this is just you storyboarded off the movie, it's not, because it's not the movie, it's the first draft. So I was doing that, and then I want to say in, like, April is when I was emailed, and then that was it. And I was just like, oof, my head just exploded. Because it went from focusing all that, and because I would jump back and forth between character drawings and backgrounds, because I was doing backgrounds for Kyle's comic, Frog, Raccoon, Strawberry, too. And I would help. He would draw them. I would color them. And I was doing that, too. And then I got the email, and it went right to the design work, which I was already familiar with from my movie theater days.
And you weren't doing retail at this point? Like,
no, I had left back in October of 2011, and then I worked for a couple, like 2 months at that smaller studio, and then when that ended, I was unemployed for several months. And, like, when I got brought in, it was literally, it came down to, like, the last week of unemployment checks. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I don't know what cosmic force of the universe kept me from accidentally hitting that delete button because I was just tearing through the junk box and it was just there and it was ridiculous. I was like, oh my gosh. And like, I had to keep it quiet for my mom because I knew if I told her, she would have not gotten sleep for 3 days. She would have been sobbing. And she did not get sleep for several days when after like the first couple of interviews. Then I told her, and then she did not sleep for several days. So that was funny because it means a lot to her because she loves Disney. Like it's a good place to be. The parks are safe. There is not, you're just surrounded by happy people and wonderful, really creative things. And she liked it a lot. And I think it was like the last thing I ever imagined at that moment when I was running out of unemployment was that. It's kind of crazy. Yeah.
When you got the Oddbot job, was it, like, a no-brainer for you to leave your retail job?
It was, I wanted, because I needed experience, and I kept getting told, oh, we love your work, your experience is too junior, and it's, that's the kicker, because around that, because I was interviewing at small studios around the area for any number of things, they loved my stuff, they loved the things I did. I just had no actual experience. And it's, I don't know why, I can't imagine they would still do that now. If you got, if they like the stuff, why don't you hire the person for an unpaid internship for crying out loud? So I know internships have changed a lot now too, because I believe they have to be paid.
I don't know if that's everyone. I know Nickelodeon now is a paid internship.
I think most animation studios, for the most part, do.
Yeah, I think it's the smaller ones that are still unpaid.
Yeah, it was
maybe
like
non-union.
Nobody
studios.
Would give me experience. I could never get experience, so I felt bad because I had been with retail for years, and like I was probably one of the few people that knew Photoshop there. I felt really bad because they're good people. I liked working with those people, but this is like I got to work with Kyle, which would probably never happen again in a million bazillion years.
Oh, I'm sure it will.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's Kyle. I'm like, is it work with my best friend ever? Because, like, getting up and going to work with your best friend ever, this is like, you're like, awesome, team awesome. And it was, I stopped work that Saturday, and then that Monday I started up at Oddbaugh. And it was interesting because it was flash animation, but it was, like, puppet style. Mm-hmm. And I had been doing cleanup for Kyle for his Weird Eddie project, and that was frame by frame. We were cleaning up John Barry's animation frame by frame, so it was a little different from what I was used to, but I got put on in animatic after that, and that was really fun because I got to do a lot of weird touch-up things, and then towards the end of the line, I even got to draw backgrounds, and I would sneak Back to the Future references and this stuff. There's somewhere, there's a Triple Pines Mall, mm-hmm. because, you know, in the movie, there's the Twin Pines Mall, and then Marty runs it's over the tree, and then in the he goes back, and it's the Lone Pine. So I put a Triple Pine, just for giggles, I put that in there. I did it again, and somewhere else I did. I don't even remember what the joke was, but just ridiculous fun. It's weird because, we had Halloween, and he would get, he was like, oh, come on in a costume. We're going to order pizza. The most fun. You could do face paint in retail, but, it's probably dangerous to wear a costume when you're climbing up ladders and pulling things out of boxes and stuff. But it was really fun because it felt right. And then I got to work with, people I'd known online. And then you meet more people. And then I was out of work for the several months, and then I hauled butt on the storyboards. And then Disney just happened. Was right out of the blue.
Because I also want to kind of get into, you came from the East Coast, and they're very different, East and West Coast.
It's
and like,
weird. There's no lobster out here, sucks. Ooh, it's Pacific lobster. There's no Langostino. Well, what's this crap? What's Langostino?
And it's expensive. I mean, rent's high. It's
rent
just,
is on. San Francisco is the worst.
Yeah.
And ream me on rent.
And it's amazing how some artist jobs pay so little, especially if you're not in the union. Union, great, but outside, all those small jobs that come and go.
Well, really, it's like when you're coming, if you go to school and you're coming out of school with hundreds of thousands of dollars of student loan debt, and then you've got to take.
I'm never going to get out from under it.
Yeah, and then you've got to take this, unpaid internship or something like that,
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ugh. It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
We'll have a list of schools, online schools and classes. Mm-hmm. Like Schoolism's great animation mentor. It's pricey, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
So we'll have that all listed.
That's good.
But
I swear by Sherm.
Yeah. How were you able to, stay out here?
My kid's sister was already out here. She'd gone to school for I don't remember exactly what it is, because there's all those media majors and all of that, and mm-hmm. she was out here and in 08, and we literally for 3 months shared a one-room apartment. It was tiny. It was fine for her because it was where you have a bedroom, and there's the kitchen mm-hmm. right there.
The studio.
And a bathroom. Yeah, it was, tiny. We were in the corner. There was no AC, and I moved out here, and for 3 months we were in that until I got a job at an art supply store, and then we got a one-bedroom apartment. I lived in the living room, and the hell that was. And because it was great moving into that, but coming out of San Francisco, it was a lot easier to pay for food and the metro, but compared to Maine, this is expensive as hell,
mm-hmm.
especially entertainment. The movies, so expensive. Food. Dollar menu. That's all right.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I also know a lot of people who couch surf when they come out, and
I've heard of it. And you got to do what you got to do. I wish people don't have to do that, but because IKEA makes those little beds, you know, pay part rent and then you can move in with some of your friends. I don't know how, if everybody's situation is different. Yeah. I just happened to get really lucky and my sister was out here already and we still live together and we drive ourselves freaking nuts. it's not bad. You know, we have a cat, which drives us freaking nuts. And I finally got to have my hamster, which drives me freaking nuts. But I love having that ham and we love having a cat and it's good. It gets better. Mm-hmm. It always gets better. It's not going to be, there's a saying in Animal Crossing, and remember that bad times are just times that are bad. And it's true because it can't always be bad, you know, unless like you're born under like a really bad sign, like dang, you know, everything's bad, but I don't think it could be that bad. It always gets better. It's got to get better.
You can see more of Erin and her cute hamster sketches at erindraws.com. You can also read more of her advice on her Tumblr, erinjshea.tumblr.com. And that's Erin spelled A-R-O-N. I hope that this podcast is helpful and will continue to evolve into a positive corner of the podcast sphere. If you have any questions about the industry, how to get in, how to stay in, feel free to email us at inkandpaintgirlspodcast@gmail.com. The views expressed on this podcast are our own and do not represent those of the Walt Disney Company. Our theme song is courtesy of Kyle Carosa. Thanks for tuning in.